Welcome to the Classical Academy's podcast, Partnering with Parents. Join us as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
I'm Cameron Curry, Executive Director for the Classical Academies, and once again, welcome to our podcast. Today's guest is Don Sullivan, and our topic today is transitioning from a middle school to high school with independence and confidence. So, Don, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cam. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Don, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been a teacher at the Classical Academy for 11 years. I've taught overall 20 plus years in all kinds of ways, homeschooled, taught private school, taught public school, and now I feel very honored to be a part of our charter school. I teach at our Bear Valley campus with students who are primarily homeschooled, and the subjects that I teach are writing, speech and public speaking, and seventh grade humanities.
Don, what are some of the greatest challenges that middle school students face as they prepare for high school?
Well, over the years of teaching middle school students who are primarily homeschooled, I have observed two main challenges that I kind of take on as a teacher in the classroom and as I did as a parent as well to help students get ready for high school. One of them is confidence, and the second is becoming a self-directed or a self-motivated learner. So let's start talking about confidence first. I, in my classroom, see so much the need to help students develop a growth mindset. Mm. And I know, Cam, that you are very much of embracing of the whole idea of the growth mindset. You probably remember going to middle school and feeling incredibly insecure in a variety of ways. And middle school students, whether they are high academically or whether they struggle, they definitely bring these insecurities into their academics. The growth mindset is a whole idea of helping them to embrace and try new things, helping them learn that failing is not forever, that failing is a point of growth. And one of the things that I think is a big challenge for parent teachers and for teachers in the classroom is how do you model that failure to your students so that they can see that that's part of normal life and go forward. In my class, we talk about mistakes all the time. When my students find a mistake or a typo, I thank them for that. Mm. I allow them to correct me. And that's part of how I happen to model that, to help them see that failing isn't bad. The other challenge that we have is helping them to become a self-directed and self-motivated learner. A lot of the homeschool kids come into middle school with independence already built into them because they're used to working on their own and having mom give them an assignment to do.
Sure.
But some of them, for some reason, when they face that middle school challenge, especially if they are embracing multiple teachers for the first time and the multitasking, all of a sudden, mom has to become this nagging person in their life to help them get things done. So we want to challenge them to become self-directed. We want to challenge them to beef up their study skills, organization, time management, to learn how to advocate for themselves so that when they go into high school where they're multitasking even more, that they will have these skill set to take with them.
What are some of the unique challenges that homeschooled middle school students face as they transition to a more traditional high school setting?
Homeschooling provides flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
So the benefits of homeschooling, you get unique opportunities in how to spend your time, field trips, how to pursue a variety of other activities and skills outside of school, in addition to going deep and learning the academics. The flexibility plays out in a variety of ways. Some homeschools are very structured. Some homeschools are very loose. And when you have middle school students coming from those family differences and going into a more traditional high school, they need to learn some what I would call a strong skill set to manage the differences in high school. So a more traditional high school, you're going to have multiple teachers, multiple authority figures, not just mom or dad. There's more multitasking. There is managing and meeting deadlines, studying and taking tests. And some students that come to my middle school classes have never taken a real test before. And so that just even just going through the motions of getting feedback in a test form, or turning in a writing assignment where a teacher has edited and asked for more and said, no, little Johnny, it's not perfect. Some students in middle school struggle with that kind of feedback, but they'll need those skills going forward. And obviously the social transitions, that just interacting with teachers and working in with a partner in a small group in a classroom.
And being able to self-advocate.
Self-advocate is huge, and communicate with the teacher directly. So those are what I would call practical skills that build confidence going into high school.
That's great. That's really, really great. So how much involvement should a parent teacher take in helping their middle school students succeed academically? What's appropriate?
Well, so this is an opinion. So I'm going to just own it for the fact that for the 11 years of working with homeschool students at the Classical Academy, and then prior to that, the about 15 years I was homeschooling on my own, off and on with my own four children, I would say what I love about the Classical Academy and the parent-teacher relationship is that we educate as a team. So we partner with parents. So we want the parents involved. The parent is the integral adult in that student's life. But at the same time, we also need in middle school for little Johnny to rise up and grasp even more of his responsibilities in the classroom. So on the first day of middle school in my class with the students who I see once a week, I tell them, I say, welcome to college.
Oh,
and they look
go.
At me like, what? College? I said, well, guys, welcome to college, because this seeing your teacher once a week, it's, and then the teacher sends you off with these lessons that you have to go do and then bring back or submit online. We're expecting you as 11, 12, and 13-year-olds to be college students, but you're not. So guess what we give you? We give you a team. And on track C with the kids who are primarily homeschooled, that team, Team Johnny, it's the student, it's the parent teacher, it's the educational specialist who's overseeing their all aspects of their education at school, and it's the classroom teacher, someone like me. And but I tell my students, but it's not called Team Mrs. Sullivan, it's called Team Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny's the point person. And this is where the tricky transition is for parents, because a lot of the parents who have committed to homeschooling, they're used to being the primary teacher, manager, consultant. And now as their kid goes into middle school and they are embracing more teachers in their life, the parent has to pull back a little bit, let Johnny go a little bit more forward. And the parent is not necessarily the primary teacher, but is teaching along and kind of the primary manager and consultant role
rises
and the guiding. And whether they're at a 3-day a week program in a middle school or whether they're at the once coming to class once a week, they have to make that shift. And so the challenge for the parent is how do you do that? And the parent has got to be the key, because they know their student the best, they're the most connected with their student, and they are aware of their student's weaknesses and strengths. But I kind of term it like this in middle school. I have a pug puppy. He's 3. And he loves his retractable leash. And what he loves is when I walk him on that retractable leash and I let him go and go and go, where he's almost feeling like he's not on a leash. And then if he gets off to where he doesn't, then I can pull it in, gentle tug, whatever. But I'm there, I'm monitoring, but I'm letting him go on his independent little walk. That's kind of a word picture that helps me to understand middle school. The parent teacher is there. The parent teacher is quote unquote in charge, but the student is really branching out and beginning to take on more responsibility.
That's great. That's really, really great. So how do parents strike a balance between helping their student gain academic independence and also doing too much?
This is a tricky question, because right away, I kind of view the parents I've had experience with in two categories. You have the parent who has been driving the train, and they're very organized. Coming into middle school, they want to make sure that little Johnny still gets everything done, and they're right alongside, and they have a tendency to do too much. On the other hand, I've had multiple parents that for some reason they hit middle school and they embrace what I call the sink or swim in mentality, that, okay, well, I've been holding his hand now, and now all these years up through fifth and sixth grade, grade, and now he's just got to be able to do it. And what happens, obviously, both of those are extremes. Mm-hmm. And my goal is hopefully, as a classroom teacher, to shepherd parents to kind of meet in the middle somewhere on there. Because obviously, the parent who's very involved, overly involved, needs to pull back and let their student communicate, do the emails with their teachers, and message their teachers on Schoologies, things like that. At the other hand, the wait and see approach, the sink or swim, it can backfire. Because if you are a parent who totally pulls back and says, let's see what he can do, you may end up having a kid that all of a sudden is in such an academic hole, and yes, they're trying to dig themselves out of the hole, that their confidence is eroded. So what I encourage my parents to do is to be an active manager at the middle school level. Make sure you're communicating with your student. Have your student be the main communicator with the teacher, but make sure you're communicating with your student. And there are three practical things that I would suggest. First of all, with any homeschooled middle schooler, there should be a time where you survey the week, where you're looking at this particular week. What is going on? What time conflicts do we have? What projects do you have due? Let's practically look at the week to see what's ahead. And I highly encourage students and parents to time block their week. I give my students a blank schedule that has 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. 7 days a week, and I encourage them to take a marker and to block out the have-tos. When are you in class? When are you at church? When are you at karate or music lessons or whatever you're doing, so that the homeschooled students can see where the blocks of time are, the non-negotiables. And that way, if little Johnny wants to sleep in on a homeschool-only day and is whining at 8 o'clock in the morning, the parent teacher can look at him and say, remember your time blocking? In order to get to baseball practice, you need to get going now. I'll see you in the kitchen in a little bit. And putting it back on them and back on the time schedule, mm-hmm, so that there's less nagging. And then I'm a huge proponent of checklists. I love checklists. I think that some students can really improve and begin to internalize the whole idea of independence.
Ownership.
It does. And so if a parent makes a checklist for a student for tasks for that week, then if the student's not doing their work and the parent just said, oh, how's your checklist going? It's almost like it's putting it back on the student. It's not the mom nagging and saying, so did you get your stuff done? It's, oh, so is your checklist done? You know, and that way the kid can see what, mm-hmm, they need to do. Obviously, too, parents keeping up with grades and keeping up with completion of assignments. That's huge. And this is the hardest part. The hardest part is letting little Johnny fail.
Mm-hmm.
And embracing the fact that if he's going to learn, and he's going to learn from mistakes, and we all do, letting him fail in middle school is less costly than letting him fail in high school. Grades aren't permanent. He's younger. He's got a lot ahead of him.
Right.
And I know as a parent, I have rescued my kids before. I have not let them fail.
Right, right.
But letting them fail is huge.
Well, and I think you make a really good point. It's the fact that, first of all, failure is a part of learning. It should be a part of learning because failure is a part of life. So how can parents build confidence in their middle school student to be prepared for high school?
So if our goal is for middle school students to enter high school with confidence and independence, I think three main thoughts should be in the forefront of every parent teacher's mind. One of them, the first is that gaining confidence and independence is a process. Students are going to be stressed. They're going to be scared of new things. You know, parents should keep high standards and model teachability themselves, mm-hmm, but just know that going to middle school, their kid's going to be comparing themselves to everyone there. I have students afraid of trying in writing and public speaking because they feel like they're failures. I have perfectionists in class who are so detailed with everything, but so overwhelmed with the fear that they're going to leave one thing out. Mm-hmm. So I have insecurity both on the high achievers and the low achievers, but our whole idea is to help them know that a growth mindset development is a process. We're helping them to embrace change without dread. Okay.
There you go.
And part of that too is accepting their responsibilities. I tell my students on the first day, school is your job. Teaching is my job, and I prepare the lessons and teach the lessons, and I show up and hopefully motivate you And if I didn't do all of that, I wouldn't have this job. And your job then is to do your very, very best with what I've prepared. And I tell them up front on the first day, my writing students, I say, guess what, guys? I don't love to write. And they look at me with wide eyes and I say, I like it, but you won't see me writing a book on a Saturday afternoon at my computer for free time. I won't be doing that. But I told them, I said, but it's a skill that I've learned, and it's a skill you need for your life success. So that's part of you accepting your responsibility, is that sometimes it's not our first love, but we have to learn how to do it anyway. And it's kind of like getting into the water too. Some kids in a cold pool or lake, some kids will just be fearlessly jumping in and just get it all and just try. But especially the academically insecure students and the students who are paralyzed by perfectionism, they want to dip their toe in. And I say, that's fine. Guess what? I'm in the water already. Here, give me your hand. I will help you walk in. But you've got to do the work. That's part of your responsibility. Right. So it's the process. It's accepting responsibility. And last but not least, it is seeing failure as an opportunity for growth. And students, I so desperately want my students to learn that failure means that they are learning, improving, they're learning how to trust themselves, and it's part of their story. It's part of their knowledge base too. I failed that time, I can do it differently this time. And parents, what can you do? You can help create a safe place for little Johnny to fail. Mm-hmm. And when I mean a safe place, that, yeah, he's gonna disappoint you sometimes. But you know what? Take the consequence and move on. And move on to the next with the expectation and the high expectation that he's going to learn from that and that he's going to change his behavior. Because if we have, as adults, have high expectations, the kids are eventually going to come along. They really will. And, you know, I also tell my parents, too, you don't need to do his work because you passed seventh grade already. That's his job.
Right.
And the classroom teacher, sometimes, you know, you can even, if you're finding that your child is not embracing failure, one of the wonderful things about our partnering in this team is that you as the parent are wearing so many hats. Put it back on the classroom teacher. You know, I tell my parents, say, hey, tell your student, Mrs. Sullivan is expecting that this will be done and ready to turn in on Tuesday. It's not my expectation. It's hers. And if you have a question, message her on Schoology. You know, she'll get right back to you. And put it on them that, you know, they have a responsibility to the team. Not just to the mom part of the team or the parent-teacher right. part of the team. So the team approach helps middle school students become confident, and parents are the key member of motivating and helping us as parents learn about their middle school student.
That's awesome. So Dawn, you alluded to not only did you homeschool your own children, mm-hmm. but you also alluded to the fact that you actually saved. You tried to save them at different times from circumstances mm-hmm. and stuff. How did you model failure in your home, or how did you model that it was okay to do that?
Well, I have had a variety of experiences with my four children with their desires for me to save them. And it was primarily in a high school setting
okay.
with the multitasking and missing a paper and not having this and that. But when my daughter was in the middle school program at Classical Academy and I was teaching elementary school, there were times where she came in and needed to print something in my classroom because she hadn't printed it at home or something like that.
Okay.
And so, you know, in a situation like that, if she's taking the initiative to solve the problem, that's fine. If she had needed me to drive home to get something, I would not have driven home. And then just to model for my son in high school, I got to the point where I charged him. I did, if I was available to drive home, and it worked for me, I would do that. But I charged him a fee because okay. it was becoming habitual and because of the gas and my time, et cetera. And not that it was any foolproof way of dealing with it.
No, but it actually put it back on him as well.
Exactly, as a consequence. And then learning things too, like in regards to writing or something that you have to have printed for class, always email it to yourself so that when you're at school, if you have a position to bring it up on your docs or to print it out, you can always do that. And that was before the Google Docs platform, which sure. is so wonderful now.
Sure. So Dawn, thank you so much for your time with us today. Is there some final thoughts you have for our listeners?
My final thought for parents of middle schoolers is to take a deep breath and know that middle school is a difficult time for a lot of students socially and academically. look at what you're doing and say, hey, I'm doing a great job. I'm doing the best that I can. And maybe pick out a few things from this podcast that you might use in your own homeschool setting to encourage your student to embrace a growth mindset. I would also encourage you to really take advantage of the team, the education specialists, the classroom teachers. We are there for you. And we have just experience that you might not have experienced before. And we are there to listen, to help you problem solve, and to encourage you. And just know that as you're getting your students through middle school at the Classical Academies, they have a great adventure waiting for them, whether they go to the Classical Academy High School, the online school, or a Coastal Academy. They will have a great high school experience, and they will be very well prepared.
Awesome, Dawn. Well, thank you for being with us today.
This podcast is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, email us at podcast@classicalacademy.com. Subscribe to our channel or leave us a review. Thanks for listening.